Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hello again, everyone. Last month, during the second mayoral election debate, we had a simultaneous online chat on our website featuring students from Pace High School in Manhattan. We're going to use this day off from school now to follow up with some of those students on one issue in the debate that really got their keystroke count up on our website: standardized testing and teaching to the test. Now, we always hear this debated in the media by adults. Now, these students, living through the constant high-stakes test era themselves, will get their public say. To refresh our memories, here is a little bit of what Mayor Bloomberg and Controller Bill Thompson had to say at the time in the debate.
But you can't escape the fact, with a state test or the federal test, the gap between kids who always, ethnicities that always tested lower, and people said, oh, that's just the way it is, and I said, that's not going to be the way it is. We've cut that gap in half, and every kid takes the same test. I think everybody understands the test scores are reflective of what's really happening in the classroom. Kids are doing what they're asking, we're asking them to do, and teachers are, for the first time, getting information they need.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Thompson?
New York City students are being taught just to take the state standardized test. And that's the only thing. They're being taught, as one student said, they're being taught to memorize things. They're not being taught critical thinking and comprehension. So it isn't just the NAEP. If we were looking at measures, the SAT scores are down again, year after year after year. They continue to go down. Our students are being taught to take standardized tests. They need to do better. We need to tell them the truth.
All right, Bloomberg and Thompson on standardized testing from the second mayoral debate. You heard the moderator from WABC Channel 7 in there with him as well. And with me now are Melanie Lugo, a senior at Pace High School. Also Quincy Adonis, a sophomore in an Upward Bound program that's housed at Pace High School. They both took part in our election night online chat simultaneously to the debate. And Pace University political science professor Christopher Malone, who is supervising these students in a political literacy project for Election 2009. Hello to all of you. Welcome to WNYC. Quincy.
Yeah, hi.
And Melanie.
Hello.
And Professor, welcome back.
Thanks, Brian.
And our phones are open right now for any other Pace High School students who took part in our debate night online chat. It's 11:08 in the morning Eastern Time as we're doing this. Are you awake yet? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Pace students who are in the chat only at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC, students. And Professor Malone, give us the overview of what your class has been for and what it was like in our online chat on debate night.
Sure. Happy to do it. Thanks for having us, Brian. This is a year-long project. As you said, it's called the Political Literacy Project. We received a grant from the Verizon Thinkfinity Foundation to do it, and our partners at Vote 18, which is a nonprofit organization that goes into high schools all across the country to motivate young people to register to vote when they turn 18, to get them engaged politically. We do this through a game simulation. We developed a curriculum that will last all year long. So the first phase of it was to watch the mayoral election in New York City, to have the students blogging on a site that we created, and really to become engaged and part of the chat room that we took part in with WNYC was part of that. After the election, for the rest of the year, what these students are going to be doing, and there's about 125 of them, most from Pace High School, but with Quincy from the Upward Bound program that is housed at Pace University, they're going to be following every elected official's office in the city, from the city council to the U.S. Senate. Mm-hmm. And I hope to get the students in to interview some of the elected officials. So if any of them are listening, please get in touch. We will send our political literacy reporters out to discuss some of the topics that they have on their minds.
All right.
So that's kind of the background.
So to the issue, do you think you're being taught to the test, Melanie, as Thompson asserted in the clip, or really being taught how to think, or both?
I think we're taught for the test like Regents compared to SATs. Like, we're not taught thinking skills, I think. Like, and it's not our teachers' fault, I think, because our teachers are wonderful. I think it's the state's fault and, like, how they run the education system. I feel like if they gave us the tools to, like, learn, we would do well. You know, it's like what they say, give a man a fish, he'll eat for one day. Teach a man fish and he'll never starve. It's kind of like those skills we need to be taught in order to continue to learn and progress.
And you feel you're not being taught.
No.
Go ahead.
We're learned to memorize. Like, you know, we have classes that are based solely on regents. So they teach us the information that are only on the regents. So it's like the year, the whole entire year is, our curriculum consists of, you know, like little worksheets and like essays that relate to the regents instead of actually like learning in depth the information.
Quincy, are you experiencing school the same way?
Yeah, I agree with Melanie. Because like with all that pressure putting on us, it's like that's why the grades are low like that for the SATs, because we all just built to just memorize it, but not as well as like out of the box, like to see things from different aspects.
You know? Have you had out of the box teaching? Have you had some classes with some teachers that made you think, wow, this is what learning is?
Yeah.
How about the political literacy project?
This teacher.
That's right. You could ignore him. Mm-hmm. He's just promoting his.
Yeah.
there's teachers that do that, because like those are like the great teachers, because like they want to see the potential. When they see the potential in students, that's why that's how they bring it out. But not every teacher's like that.
Yeah, I actually have a my pre-calc and physics teacher. She taught us habits of thinking, and it's like these ways in order to think, so that you can learn instead of like just methods, like just actual like equations and things. So she'd rather us be confused and figure it out for ourselves than give us the information. And I feel like I learned more that way, because since she's an honors class teacher, we don't really have a regents in order to take at the end of the year. So she's able to teach us however she feels is the best way. So we learned habits of mind, like analyzing and things like that. And I love it. Like, It's harder, but I feel like it's helping me become a life learner instead of just taking a regents at the end of the year.
Professor Malone, I guess there's no SAT-2 in political literacy.
Not yet, and I'm happy for that. You know, actually, Melanie was telling me in the green room that she just took the SATs for the second time, and so she went through that process. And let me just back up and kind of highlight some of the things I said. I tell my PACE students, Brian, that they probably will forget 90% of what they learn in my class the minute that the semester comes to an end. And that's their God-given right. But what I hope that they don't forget are the tools and the skills that they were working on during that semester. And really, the delivery of education has changed with technology changes. But it's the same things, reading, writing, and speaking, because through those processes, you learn the tools to become an effective citizen and a functioning human being in a society. So if we're teaching to the test to memorize, I'm not sure that they're learning those skills of critical reading, solid analytic writing, and speaking in public. And I think that to bring these students on to a radio show, they were very nervous before, but they're, you know, getting comfortable now. They learn the process of how to articulate their ideas. And I don't know if a standardized test does that.
So would some amount of memorization be relevant to political literacy, though? To play devil's advocate here, would you want them to memorize the Bill of Rights, for example, as a fundamental act of political literacy?
Absolutely. I think it's the first part. You need facts in order to get to critical analysis. They need to know how many city council members there are. They need to know how many members in the House of Representatives, the Senate. But to learn that in and of itself is not the way to go. If you can tell me that there are 435 members in the House, and then there's a country the size of the United States, 300 million, I can ask the question, is that too little representation for a congressional district? So you need the facts, but to end there is really not the end-all and be-all of this process.
Now, I'm going to acknowledge that none of your classmates are calling in. So even though we had massive participation on the online chat on debate night, which was amazing. You had like 50 kids involved at that time, something like that.
Right? We had 23 in our chat room, in our computer room at PACE alone, but more were...
Others were definitely chiming in. We could
and
tell.
And they were talking all over.
Home or wherever they were. And so what we're going to do is we're going to open this question a little wider. Maybe teachers want to call in. This the school holiday in most places. My son's high school happens not to be off, but most places it is a school holiday. So how about teachers? Teachers, are there good standardized tests and bad standardized tests from a teacher's point of view? Is there a good way of teaching to the test? and a bad way of teaching to the test? I know teachers always grouse about teaching to the test. Is this something that is a challenge for you to do it in a way that it instills thinking, lifetime learner habits, thinking outside the box? Do you think about how to teach to the test and not just whether you have to teach to the test? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Any other high school students listening right now? 212-433-9692. Or former high school students at 212-433-9692. For Pace High School students, Quincy Adonis and Melanie Lugo, and Pace University political science professor Christopher Malone. Quincy, is there good teaching to the test and bad teaching to the test? Have you thought about that ever?
I've never really thought about it, but we students do have to understand that it's not just one classroom that the teachers teach. It's a lot of classrooms. They have a lot of periods and stuff that they have to teach different students, and not every student learns the same way. So for the pressure on the teachers, I don't think so. I think there's like how the students learn. It's not how the teachers could teach.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Melanie?
Yeah, well, like Dr. Malone had said, like facts are essential to our learning, either way, like test or no test. And I feel like our teachers have done well with teaching to the test, but I don't think it's correct, like a way of learning just to learn for a test. So I don't know.
So your friend Justin from Williamsburg Prep, who came along with you to the studio, is in our green room, and guess what he did?
He called in.
He called in. Justin.
All right, Justin. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you see us from where you are?
No, I can't.
Oh, you're outside. I see. Now I understand where you are. You're just right around the corner. Yeah. So were you listening, and did you want to say something?
Yeah, I've been listening.
And?
And I want to ask, do you feel like standardized tests should be the way that people know if you should move on to the next grade or not?
What do you think, Justin?
I feel like it shouldn't, because you can't judge people on one test. Like, you have to look at their whole year performance, and you should be able to decide from that, not just from one whole test.
Have you been burned by that?
No, not yet. Hopefully that won't happen either.
I was talking to a teacher the other day, Justin, who was saying almost exactly the opposite. She was saying the tests are so easy now that kids who really can't read, for example, get passing grades so the system doesn't look like a failure. Does that sound right to you?
Not really, because like there are tests that are hard, and like it's just it depends on how you're being taught. And like with the SATs, another thing, like the SATs, like what Melanie said, that teachers give us the information we need to pass the regions, not to pass the SATs. So like it's harder for us to get a higher grade on the SATs because of what like we have to, like we're not prepared for it.
Right. Supposedly.
Colleges that are asking us for our SAT scores, it is not fair, because why are you judging us on just one whole test when you could look at our GPA, how we doing in school, and all that stuff?
Either of you want to get in on that? Melanie, you're nodding.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like the application process for colleges should be more holistic. Like, they should look at our GPA as well as our SAT scores. I feel like we get put aside just for our SAT scores or the low scores in them, and I don't feel like that's fair, because I feel just because you have a higher SAT score doesn't make you a better student than I am, and I feel like it's kind of that's how it makes us seem like people.
Hey, Justin, thanks for chiming in.
Thank you.
And here is Dan in East Orange, a teacher's assistant in high school. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah, I actually am a TA in East Orange, a couple of AP classes there.
Uh-huh. So those are college-level courses that high school students take.
What was that? I'm sorry.
College-level courses that high school students take?
Absolutely. I'm in the history and the politics classes.
Uh-huh.
And just to touch on what the last person was talking about, I'm glad to see, I applaud colleges who are eliminating the SATs from their required standards. I went to Drew University, and they're one of the few schools around here that have decided to not require SAT scores, and I think that they do have a more holistic approach to their application process and looking at the work that students have done. But Well, also what I wanted to talk about was just that teaching to the test is not necessarily, teaching to an assessment, I should say, is not necessarily a poor thing. But if the assessment is poor, then yeah, it can be like horribly detrimental on what you're trying to get done in the classroom.
Interesting. Thank you, Dan. So that raises a related question to the one I asked before, I guess, because I asked Quincy, is there good teaching to the test and bad teaching to the test? Are there good standardized tests and bad standardized tests?
No, actually, it's like your performance on that test. Because, like, not every student could do good. Like, there's always a bad to something if there's good, wherever there's good. And I believe, like, this SATs is like putting a turkey in the oven. You give us the flavor, but then you take us out halfway. Like, what are we going to get cook ourselves after that? You know what I mean?
Interesting. Now, maybe Dina in Carroll Gardens has something to say about that because she coaches teachers. Is that right?
Yes.
So you coach teachers on, like, teaching well.
Yes, I do. And one of the things that I find is that teachers are very concerned about helping their students pass the Regents because they're very high stakes. You cannot graduate if you don't pass the Regents, and school funding is tied to Regents rates, Regents passing rates. And teachers are afraid to not teach to the Regents because they're very concerned about their students graduating. However, I try to encourage teachers to teach well, because I believe that good teaching is good test prep, and that if they have the courage to break away from the restraints of the contents of the Regents, then, you know, I want to encourage them to do the habits of mind kind of teaching and the teaching kids tools and skills to think about their topic.
So, Dina, what are the standardized tests that it's easier to teach teachers to teach well toward, and
well,
which ones are harder?
Well, I coach teachers, in social studies teachers and English teachers, so I'm really only familiar with the English Regents and the social studies Regents, but, you know, in both of those tests, you have to have high reading comprehension skills and you have to have good writing skills, and those skills can be taught in social studies and English classes, without having to just drill students in the kinds of essays that they need to pass the Regents.
And Dina, how about this from Chris on our webpage? Chris writes, I teach the test as a genre study, much like any other genre. It's designed to trick the student. And
perfect.
Once you know the tricks, you can beat the test.
Exactly.
All my students passed the test last year.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And another thing that I always say to teachers is that teaching to the Regents is a very low standard. I mean, the Regents aren't that difficult to pass. And in fact, what we really should be teaching students is the skills to succeed in college and beyond. Mm-hmm. And those are critical thinking skills. Those are teamwork skills. That's analysis skills.
In fact, And in fact, Chris adds on our page, I was also forced to score the test, and what's considered passing in short answer and essay answers is laughable.
Oh, it is. It's really laughable. I mean, on the English Regents, they don't even have to use proper grammar or correct spelling.
Our two high school students are rolling their eyes at this, I should say, and what do you mean it's so easy?
So. It's not easy to, let's say, it's not easy to, it's easy to teach how to pass. Let's put it that way.
Uh-huh.
It's easy to teach students how to pass the Regents as a genre study or as a teaching to the test unit, perhaps. But
there's a PhD dissertation in that somewhere.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes. My name is Dinah, by the
oh,
way.
Oh, Dinah. I'm
That's
sorry.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yes, the PhD dissertation in standardized test as genre study. Professor Maloney will get the last word, and I guess picking up on these things, when you get students coming out of high school to study political science with you at Pace University, do you find that they're not prepared for college in ways that the high school should be and could be preparing them?
Yes, and I don't want to disparage my colleagues who teach at the high school level. That's certainly not what this is about. But I'm also the director of our Honors College at Pace, Brian, and we do look at SAT scores as one of the threshold requirements to get in, as the students mentioned. We also look at GPA. And the reality is that this is kind of an easy shorthand for universities to say, okay, this student is worthy, this student isn't. And I'm not sure that that's the best way to do it. One of the things that we also do at the Honors College is we allow students to transfer in after their first year at Pace if they have a 3.5 GPA. So they prove themselves. Now, the question of whether or not we are giving them the tools they need, it has to be much broader than simply, you know, rote memorization. In political science, I try to incorporate a couple other things. One is civic engagement. That is, be mindful of being a public citizen rather than just a private individual. Active learning, like these guys are doing, rather than just memorizing what the mayor's race is about, why don't they get involved? And then the last one is what I would call an ethic of professionalism. That is, learn the skills to meet people, strangers in public, whether it's through a radio show or through the blogs or through phone calls, where they actually can exchange ideas respectfully.
And we should mention that your political literacy project is a collaboration between Pace and the group Vote 18.
Vote 18, funded by the Verizon Foundation, Thinkfinity Foundation.
Did you turn 18 yet, Melanie?
No, I'm 17.
So you couldn't vote?
No.
And you're a sophomore,
I'm 16. You're
not there yet.
Yeah.
You're looking toward the next presidential election, maybe, right? All right. Quincy Adonis, Melanie Lugo, studying with Professor Christopher Malone, who supervised these students in the Political Literacy Project for Election 2009. Thanks to all of you for coming in. Congratulations.
All right, thank you for having me.
Thanks for spending part of your day off talking about this stuff. Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. The recession may officially be over, but the mortgage mess that brought down the economy is still hitting hard in neighborhoods and across the city, and it's still hard to get banks to cooperate on adjusting the terms of home loans before foreclosure. We'll talk about how to get around it. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.